This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Let's get our heads right for what day is it today?
Thursday.
Today is a Thursday.
Yeah.
All right. The days are bleeding together. I am as dry as a skeleton's tank right now. I mean, my nose, my throat, I don't have an ounce of moisture in me or on me right now. We are live from the Peoria Sports Complex again out here for Pottery Spring Training. What a day yesterday. Got to say, we were on a high. I was feeling so good after yesterday, and I hope it continues, man. We set the bar pretty high and want to keep it rolling today for you guys. We had such a great time. Listen, I'm Woodsy. That's Ben Higgins. He is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
And just here to keep in track of the days of the week.
Yes, thank you.
For us, yeah.
Thank you very much. And we've got Paulie Reindel. Paulie Reindel is the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. We got our first bit of criticism here in the chat already this morning.
It's late.
It is late. Both Ben and Woods, you guys were so soft on Preller. Pivetta, the big signing, that's going to put the Pods back in the playoffs. Ha, 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 ha. You guys made Pivetta sound like it was a Soto signing. No, we didn't. Joe Musgrove, good morning, sir. Joe Musgrove absolutely killed it on the program yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of rave reviews about Joe. Lots and lots.
You had all of San Diego ready to run through a wall.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it. Listen, I don't know, man. I like the Nick Pivetta signing. We needed a fourth starter. We got one. So.
I don't know. Based on what I saw yesterday, I don't know if he's got.
We got a story for you. We got stories out the yin yang for you, certainly. But it's great to be out here, man. Next gym breaks. Look, buddy, I'll try harder. I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm in a great mood. I was on a high. You came in. You urinated in my Cheerios. First thing out of the chute. It happens. Listen, we had a great time. We had a great time yesterday. We are positive people. Going to try to stay as positive as we can because, well, there's nothing to scream at yet. There's really nothing to scream at, you know? If you don't know Next Gen Breaks that A.J. Preller's hands were tied behind his back, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. You're yelling at the wrong the messengers here. So it's not like he had an open checkbook and biffed on a bunch of guys. In fact, we actually heard through the grapevine yesterday of a couple of moves that were almost made that were pretty juicy, pretty juicy. And like AJ said yesterday, things don't line up sometimes, and that's how it goes.
So we could have been a little harder on him about not landing Roky Sasaki.
Ooh,
I guess,
you know what's funny is after we got done, I go, oh, I forgot to ask him about Roky. But it would be kind of like your buddy's wife leaves him, and you're like, so, how's it going? I mean, really, like, I really kind of feel bad for the dude, all the work.
You know, it
in.
Wasn't for a lack of effort to try to land him. So.
Exactly. And, you know that there was tomfoolery going on up the road. You know that. We all know it. You know, his ex-teammates even said it. But we had a great day, I think, on the show. After the show, we had a lot of fun. Went back and watched some guys playing, and we got some great stories on that. But went and had lunch with our beloved Sammy Levitt. Then we had a great time, as usual. Went home and got a little rest. And then from there, we were getting ready. We were going to go have a dinner with the great Jesse Agler last night. And as we're getting ready, I'm kind of getting my clothes on. I hear the front door open, and I hear Paulie talking to a woman. And I go, which one of you guys, what did you guys do? Because I was unaware. I go, did you creeps? Did somebody, who's knocking on the door? Did we piss a neighbor off? So what happened? So I go to the door, and there's a nice woman standing at the front door. And she goes, hi, are you guys renting this place? We said, yeah, we're here for the next couple nights. We're, you know, in town from San Diego doing a radio show. And she goes, oh, well, I've got it booked for today. And I said, oh, I'm very sorry to tell you, but we've had this booked for a couple of months. And
got here yesterday, like, we'll be here until Friday.
And she said, no, I booked it yesterday. I know it was a late booking, but I booked it. I was like, lady, I don't know what to tell you. We got two cars in the driveway. I got clothes splayed out everywhere. We have food in the kitchen. Like, we're not going anywhere.
Do you think she thought we were squatters? Perhaps?
Potentially.
Maybe.
Potentially. I mean,
maybe.
In this part of town, you never know, dude. So then her husband walks around. He's like, well, you know, what's going on? I'm like, hey, man, like, we have this thing booked. We're so sorry. And they had flown in from Chicago. And then I look in the street, and there's this big Suburban parked, like, in the middle of the street. And this old man and this old lady are kind of staring at the door. And in my mind, I go, I almost was like, hey, move along. This doesn't concern you. Like, nosy Parker, keep going, Karen. Don't worry about it. Well, it was their parents, and their three-year-old was
hanging out of the window.
Yeah, their three-year-old was in the car, too. They had just landed from Chicago. They had booked this place, and it was double booked. So we gave them the guy's number, and we said, so sorry for your troubles. Like, you guys are more than welcome to stay here. We've got the two empty bunk beds if you want. That would be a little bit weird with an old couple, another couple, and their three-year-old running
around.
There's
a lot of couches.
There's a lot of couches.
Yeah, could have had a sitcom going.
So, yeah, I mean, so that was an interesting part of the day. Then this morning we woke up.
You felt like we were in the right, though. I mean, we were there.
Yeah, we were already booked.
Yeah, yeah.
She booked yesterday on a third party.
She booked last week on a different website, like booking.com.
Booking.com.
And I guess when we booked, like, you can book on multiple sites or host your place on multiple sites.
Sure.
And when we booked, it just didn't pull it from the other sites or something. I don't know how it happens. That's very bizarre.
But they were out of a place to stay. Dude, what a beating to fly all the way from Chicago. They flew into Mesa, he said. So they were driving for about an hour.
What a What a horrible choice that was.
Terrible choice. And they're driving in for like an hour.
Save $20 by flying.
And then they get there, and their place is rented. Yeah, somebody, Dominic, said, is this the beginning of summer rental? What a great John Candy movie that was. And it's exactly what happened. So that was a little odd. So we get home from dinner. We had a great time with Jesse, man. Just a genuinely, genuinely brilliant human being. We were talking over the Incorporator for the upcoming season. I bought his dinner, so I told him, hey, that just bought me another year of the Incorporator. He started laughing, and so we had a great time there. Came back, and I got into bed and was just watching a movie and whatever. I woke up this morning, and Paulie goes, hey, dude, did you hear the windstorm last night? And I said, no, not even a little. And Ben's like, no, I was up. I didn't hear it. Apparently, we had like 70-mile-an-hour winds out here. It ripped the cover off the hot tub in the backyard. There's palm tree fronds everywhere. So it was a bit dicey last night.
And it also sapped whatever remaining moisture there was in Arizona. Now completely gone. I don't know if 0% humidity is like even physically possible.
We got it.
We are really close to the absolute rock bottom in humidity here.
But I wanted to send you guys to, like, listen to the rest of the segment and then go to YouTube.com and search Ben and Woods Cribs, C-R-I-B-S. We did a Cribs video. Paulie produced it. It's effing brilliant. Paulie did it. We recorded it, and then I went in my room. Paulie finished it, and he sent it to me. And all he could hear from the next room was me just going, ha, ha, ha. He slayed this video. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's out on YouTube. It was great. Now, there's one part in it. I don't want to ruin it for those that haven't seen it yet. That concerned me and concerned a lot of people. And that was our beloved Ben Higgins. I got more text today about the story we told at this time about our buddy Ben making the drive from San Diego by himself, listening to nothing in his car, looking at his map. His map on his phone, listening to nothing, not even sports talk radio, not even the golf channel, nothing, just stone cold silence. I was getting texts from people saying, is he okay? And I said, I think so, but I'm not sure. But here's what Ben doesn't know. We're actually rolling tape in the car. We have audio of what went on the drive out here. Check it out.
Magoon Woth. Woth. Brian Dutcher. 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 Magoon Woth. Woth. Dateland. Dateland. Dateland, date shake. What is a date? Dateland. Gila. Gila bed. Gila. Gila bed. Bless you. Gesund. Height. 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 Gesundheit.
Pretty similar.
I don't know. James in the chat says this is not real. LOL.
This is the point where I'm supposed to get a little defensive and go, that didn't sound like me.
It's identical.
More like Woods. I can't totally deny that there's not some inner self monologue going on.
It's my favorite.
I'm driving in the car.
This dude will call out anything on the side of the road. He was calling out attorneys on the drive home when it was me and him. He's like, Jim Jackson, attorney at law.
In an accident?
Call now, 1-800-ATTORNEY.
Dentists Jim. In Los Algodones.
Yes, dude, that's the legitimate one that he was reading out, that he was reading on the drive out. So,
have you ever laughed while driving at a billboard that says, drive hammered, get nailed?
I know I absolutely have. It was, and legitimately, I've got like five texts like, hey, dude, is he okay? I go, I don't know. I really don't know if he's okay, because you'd have to be a stone killer to drive 5 to 6 hours with no sound, nothing, not a thing. playing in the car.
I found it peaceful. You like the desert? It's like when you go to Joshua Tree. This is, I just don't get out of the car.
It's not like when it's I my, go. It's not like when I go to Joshua Tree.
Reflective meditation.
No, I do not do any reflective meditation. I abuse myself when I go to Joshua Tree. Well, thank you guys for being here. Going to have some fun today, certainly. Crony just walked by and did the fake phone call because Xander did it yesterday, which was great. But we got you know, again, it's going to be fluid, right? We're gonna be kind of at their mercy of when guys show up.
We do have somewhat of an idea of at least who is scheduled to sort of stop by. I don't know. Do you want me to?
Things have changed in the last 5 minutes.
Well, Paulie, give us the update during the break. We'll come back.
You ain't going
to
like it.
We'll try to organize.
Oh, really? Great.
We'll try to organize our thoughts and get you ready for day two. Of Ben and Woods, live from Peoria, Arizona. Hello to Frank Marchese, back
Frankie!
In our Odyssey
there
studios.
He is.
Oh! Doing a great job. It's not an easy thing to be left home when we're all out here having fun.
Yeah.
But Frank's doing a great job as well. We'll get some traffic with Kelly Danick. And then Ben and Woods, day two from Padres spring training, underway on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods, I think you said it well. Going to be hard top yesterday.
Yeah.
It really was one of our best days ever.
Ever.
In you know, several years we've been coming out to spring training. We had great guests. It was just kind of one after another. Really good conversations. But we're hoping to have at least somewhat of an equally good show today as we talk to more Padres guests. It's a little more up in the air in terms of arrival times. We've heard Connor Joe should be coming in the next hour or so and stopping by our table. I'm looking forward to meeting Connor. You've met him before.
Yeah.
But I have never met him before, and I'm looking forward to chatting with one of the newest Padres and obviously someone, a San Diego local from Poway.
I had to hit BP in front of him. You want to talk about nerve-wracking, watching those guys hit BP, and then you get in, and you have to take hacks too. It's mortifying. I mean, it's like Freddie Couples and you are hitting next to each other at the range. You know, it wasn't fun.
It's worse because at the range, you're at least you're hitting, you're doing your own thing.
And everyone's watching you.
You're the focus of attention. You're the star of the show.
I talked to a couple of buddies that played in the high minors, you know, Double A, and they said, I'll ask them every detail. They said, day one of your first day as a professional baseball player, day one's batting cage session, maybe the worst day of your life. You're like soiling yourself, and you're thinking, I've played this game since I was 5 years old. I know how to hit. And you get in that box, and everyone's just staring at you. So, who's this kid that we just drafted or
and
whatever?
And now they're paying
and
you to do it.
And now they're paying you to do it. And they said, dude, you're lucky to get one out of the infield. You take your four or five swings, and they just said, you know, and then by the afternoon when you go hit, you feel a little bit better. He said, but day one, walking to the cage, you feel like you're going to vomit.
So we were watching some of the work yesterday here at the Peoria Sports Complex. And it wasn't a cage session. It was actually like a live BP effort with Nick Pivetta, new Padres pitcher on the mound, facing a group. He was kind of doing an up-down couple of innings that included Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes.
And it was one of the more interesting. Both sides got a little bit over on the other one, but it was definitely an intriguing out field at bat out there.
I can run through it
yeah,
for you guys
ahead.
Really quick. This was pretty fun. And you know, Tatis coming back, it's his first swings, I think, since he came back from having a pretty gnarly flu. And he gets in the box, Pivetta is throwing, and I believe it was Elias Diaz catching. And so the catcher's going to call balls and strikes. So he goes high fastball. Fernando swings through it. He goes slider on the corner, strike two. Then he goes slider away, strike three. But the catcher didn't call it. Toddy didn't call it. Nick Pivetta called it. He looked at Tatis and put the hand out like strike three.
Like follow through.
Hit him with the strike three. And there's probably, you know, I don't think they're going to sit there and argue about it, but Toddy kind of looks at him, shakes his head, and walks off. Next guy comes up, he does his thing. So get back around to Toddy again. Same thing. Fastball. Takes it. Strike one. Pivetta spikes a curveball into the dirt, and Toddy looks at him and goes, and puts his finger out like, strike two, you going to call that one too? It was unbelievable. You could see Pivetta was like pissed. So he snatches the ball back. He gets on the mound, and he goes up in the zone again. Tatis hits it, I don't know, 450 feet dead center.
They were chirping at each
they
other.
They were chirping.
That.
Yes, it
like,
was great.
Toddy was like, "Oh, is that a strike?"
Is that a strike?
And then Pavetta started yelling at him, and then Toddy started screaming back at him. And the next pitch, I don't think it's landed yet,
dude. It was tattooed to dead center field
and
over
and
the batter's
that's
eye.
That's when Tatis. Goes kind of a little more
cool.
It just kind of cool and just kind of
just walks
slowly
back to
walks
the dugout.
To the dugout.
Oh my God, it was so good, man. But you.
This is one of the coolest things I've ever seen on the
Bro,
backfields.
You're not kidding. You are not kidding, Paulie. We've seen some of my favorite moments, man. One of the first years we came out watching Manny do the play, you know, it's just his signature play, the backhand where he runs past the bag and throws it to first. We got to watch him do that probably 15 times in a row. You know, just the long looper that he throws over there, and that was a pretty cool moment. But yesterday, watching those guys chirp and then watching Toddy just take him out
was
insane.
And if you're worried about, hey, is this a dysfunctional team,
no.
this is not what that story is meant to indicate.
It was a simulated game, essentially.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, you want to.
That was in the zone.
They're competitive people, you know, in competition at that moment. They're not teammates at that moment.
Correct.
They're on opposing sides at that moment, and things get a little intense. Now, we've heard from Nick Pivetta, about Nick Pivetta. He's a guy you don't like to face. He's emotional. He's intense on the mound. You saw that with the Boston Red Sox, and you saw a little bit of it come out on the backfield yesterday, just in the heat of competition against Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, and it's not like Tatis is not a massive competitor as well. So it was really, really cool to see, a really fun moment.
I mean, he's been out, what, a week?
Yep.
Maybe more?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. He obviously felt good enough to play yesterday, but he wasn't 100%.
No.
We all know that flu-y feeling. Even if you're a couple days out of it, like, it doesn't feel great. And for him to stroll up there, take about seven swings,
yeah.
You see about seven pitches before he hits one, 450 over deep left center, was just incredible.
Like
over the batter's eye.
It was amazing. It was tattooed.
It was smoked.
I mean, I couldn't have hit a golf ball that far. It was
Can you imagine
just
those
incredible.
that achy flu feeling, and
you just
feel crank one 400 feet?
You just feel like death. You know, you can't get your legs under you, all that, but it was, and it's the first, you know, live pitching you've seen. It's Nick Pivetta who's throwing really well, and you know, he's out there competing too. You can't get better. You can't get better if you're, you know, taking plays off. If you're Nick Pivetta, you need to go after guys like Fernando Tatis Jr. You're going to be facing guys of his caliber all season. So I loved it, man. It was a really cool moment. Watched a little of the Deutschland game. They had the German national team out here.
They arrived just as our show was wrapping up yesterday.
Yeah, really nice guys too, and watched them take the field against some of the Padres prospects, and saw Cash Mayfield, Boston Bateman, guys like that. That
Cash,
you know,
Mayfield's their first round draft pick from last year. Big left hander. He looked nasty on the mound.
He looked fantastic, man. All over, like, just commanded the zone. Breaking pitch was sharp. You know, good fastball. K'd up a couple guys. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
I don't know, you know, how good any of the hitters on Germany were, but I liked seeing Cash Mayfield. He got ahead in the count while we were watching him. Then would try to, you know, nibble off the zone, see if he could get some chase. If he didn't, he came right back in the zone. Got a couple of strikeouts, some weak contact. It was an impressive performance for one of the Padres minor leaguers.
Yeah, it was really cool. And and then after that, you know, it was getting toasty out there. We went to grab lunch with our beloved Sammy. I did get chewed out by an elderly lady for my language, so that was fun. I've had a great trip.
Don't get on the wrong side of the retirees in Arizona. They're a powerful lobby.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean,
she was like leaving, and she just leaned over my shoulder and kind of was like looking at the table, and was, "You guys should really watch your mouths." Kind of sounds like Adam.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's your Adam. You just did your Adam.
It was female Adam.
Yeah.
Old female Adam. She's like, the F-bombs were a little much.
I'm like, it really was just Woods.
I'm a grown man. Sorry. Like, what do you...
Yeah. There were no children around.
There's no... Bro, there was
nobody under the age of 70
in a mall. Right? I mean, they could have been walking by.
My
it's
God.
Possible. You know, it's...
Watch, how about this? I got an idea for you. Why don't you mind your business? How about that? Which mind your business?
We'll tell Sam Levitt to watch his mouth.
Yeah, poor Sammy's like, geez, dude. Junior said you guys were asked not to go crazy. Yeah, exactly. We got chewed out by an elderly woman yesterday. So,
all right, let's take a time out. We could be getting some guests here. I don't want to make any promises that we can't deliver on.
Why would you? It is a ghost town right now. I've never seen it this day.
Well, there's a couple people here. And, you know, we've been told by PR they're going to work on getting maybe one of them out here. So we'll just cross our fingers. And when we come back, or we can give you an update on yesterday's Cactus League game. Is it bad that we didn't make the drive down?
No.
Sometimes I feel guilty, but we didn't actually go to the game yesterday. It was down at Camel Ranch. Padres did win, though, and we'll talk about.
According to Jesse, nobody else
went
either.
That's true. That's a good point. We got a full update from Jesse Hagler at dinner on the game. So we can talk about it at least. Coming back live from the Peoria Sports Complex, it is Ben and Woods. Padres spring training on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, Meta Woods, is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is there to help. They're recruiting professionals utilizing award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
All right.
Yeah, I just saw a door open. We saw Connor Joe came in during our break, said he'd be back out in a little while. I don't know exactly the definition of a little while, but we should have one of the newest Padres joining us fairly shortly, so stay tuned for that. As I mentioned, we didn't go to the game yesterday. The Padres did beat the Chicago White Sox 3-1 down at Camelback Ranch. Another well-pitched game for a slew of Padres, including Ryan Burgert, who was the guy that Mike Schilt chose to start the first Cactus League game last Friday and came back with 2 scoreless innings, 2 strikeouts. I don't think he allowed any base runners and has had a very solid first couple of outings of the spring. Had the debut of Jason Adam yesterday. He pitched the 3rd inning, scoreless inning for Jason Adam. Wandy Peralta and Alec Jacob also with scoreless innings of relief for the Padres in the 3-1 win. And the aforementioned Connor Joe had his first hit of the spring, went 1-for-3 with a run scored. And while he is, I think, 1-for-7, he has like a 500 on-base percentage.
Why do we like him?
Walked, gets on base.
He gets on base.
Gets on base. 3 walks, a hit by pitch as well. So he's been getting on base for the San Diego Padres. That's kind of going to be his job, I would think. I saw a piece this morning in ESPN, and I didn't realize this, but that the Padres are projected to walk less than any other team in baseball this
year. Wow.
And when I thought about it, you know, they didn't walk a ton last year.
Where did they? I wonder where they finished.
I don't know exactly where, but it was near the bottom. And that's a function of the fact that they make a lot of contact.
Yeah.
They hit for high average. But the two guys in the lineup who did walk at least a considerable amount were Jurickson Profar and Ha-Sung Kim.
Yep.
They were kind of the two best walkers, and they're both gone. So you replace those guys, you're going to need a couple of guys at least to, you know, work some counts and get on base without having to get a base hit. And
sure.
Connor Joe could be one of those guys for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important, you know, making contact's great. Making weak contact is not great. But, again, like you said, the Padres hit for a high average last year. I think that's going to be their approach moving forward.
Now, conversely, in the same piece, the Padres are projected to have the highest adjusted average and the fewest strikeouts.
That's right.
In baseball as well. Those
yep.
are two really, really good things, but they do come at the cost of not walking as much as other teams.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a weird thing to predict right now today.
I mean, it's not a prediction. It's just a statistical projection based on.
Isn't a projection a prediction? To where, you know.
I would say that the two different. You know, a projection doesn't have any opinion about it. I think a prediction involves some opinion.
Okay.
Like, hey, this guy, you know, has done this before. I think he's poised for a breakout season this year. That would be a prediction.
Feels like it would also be a projection.
A projection is simply a statistical model that they put in the numbers based on what they've done in the past and then what they are projected to do this year. And then they add it all up and some teams will, you know, have more walks, some will have less walks, and the Padres are predicted to walk less than, or projected to walk less than any other team.
Now I've got you all spun out about it. So, it's tough. You know, the White Sox, they had actually more hits, or more errors than hits yesterday. Will Venable is going to have his hands full with that team this season, certainly. But, always nice to get a dub.
Yeah, Luis Campusano made his spring debut, got a hit in the game as well. Forrest Wall, I don't know much about Forrest Wall. He's an outfielder, went 2-for-2 with a home run. And we saw another really nice at-bat from Leodalis DeVries.
Yep.
Just like the day before when he fell behind 0-2, worked the count full and hit a double. Did the same thing, 0-2, got back to the full count, and then got a single up the middle yesterday against the White Sox in that game. Padres will continue their Cactus League schedule this afternoon. They got the longest road trip, I believe, that they make, and that is to face the A's down at Hohokam in Mesa, which is the Cubs' old facility. That's all the way on the other side of town, about an hour away. So they'll be hopping in the buses here in 3 or 4 hours and making that drive, at least the players who are required to.
Yes, yes. different rules for different players, which is fine. Makes sense. Connor, we're ready for you if you're ready for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, brother. Yeah, he's here. Connor's
here, so yeah. Well, he's got a busy day to get to. I don't know if he has to go all the way. Since he played yesterday, maybe he doesn't have to make the trip all the way down to Hohokam.
Well, lucky for us, we can ask him right now. The great Connor Joe joins the program. Good morning, my friend. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Welcome.
Thanks.
So how's the first, couple of weeks been as a member of the San Diego Padres?
It's been great. You know, getting in this clubhouse, getting to know the guys, getting acclimated with the staff and familiar with them. It's always kind of a learning curve, learning their style and how they provide information and whatnot. So that's been good, getting settled in here, and it's good to be back on the field and just play baseball.
You get nervous with a new team. You've been with new teams before. Mm-hmm. You get nervous. Like, is it nerves? Is it excitement? What, is it a combo of both? What is it?
I think excitement, right? Like, I don't think it's really nerves. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's just 40 guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I've walked into plenty of new clubhouses. I've done it essentially my whole career. I've had, you know, a couple times where I've walked back into the same clubhouse, which is also great for familiarity, and have made great relationships with guys on the Rockies and the Pirates, so to go back is really nice. But no, I think playing against these guys and having familiarity with them helped a lot. At the end of the day, it's just a bunch of dudes, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Just play baseball,
yeah, exactly.
Which you've been doing your whole life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Connor, obviously you grew up in Poway, and you know, we're a Padres fan, I understand, growing up. But when you become a professional, I think it's hard for fans to understand. You have to give up all of that. When you're on a team, that's your team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now that you're back, is it more than just, you know, okay, it's just my next stop on my professional career? Is there still something there in terms of, like, that memory of your childhood?
Of course, yeah. I don't think you lose that, right?
Okay.
Like, obviously, I was drafted by the Pirates in 2014, and growing up a Padres fan my whole life, like, yeah, I'm not a Padres fan at that point.
Right. Like, you want to beat the Padres.
Yeah, and then becoming a big leaguer I was Giants. I made my debut in San Diego playing against the Padres, playing with the Rockies against the Padres, you know, what is it, 15, 16 times. Obviously, I'm not a fan of the Padres. Like,
right?
I want to beat them. Like, it's my job to beat them, or you know, drive in the run. So, but coming back is special, and like, yeah, it is very cool. It's not just a stop on my journey. It's always going to be a time where I look back and remember, like, I was able to go back home and play for the Padres, who I was a fan of my whole life. So it is special for me, and to be here in camp with the Padres, throwing on the jersey every day is amazing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Talking to Connor Joe here on Ben and Woods this morning. Had a chance to meet Connor years ago. We have a mutual friend, actually. Your agent's son is a guy I know and one of my best friends, and got to go out and work out with Connor. And it's the worst. I mean, if you're like me,
not you, Connor.
Not you. Like, having to like hit and like field in front of them. I was playing first. They were taking grounders and slinging them over there, and I was like, God, this is a different level, man. But you know, you have had a you had a health scare. You know, you're a cancer survivor, and how are you feeling now? Is everything kind of, are you out of the woods completely? How did that go, and what was that like?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. No. I love talking about it.
Good,
no, I really
good.
Do. I truly do. I think it's something that should be talked about and awareness about. But I'm healthy, and this is a big year for me because in July 20th, I will be deemed cancer-free for 5 years, which they call remission. So
amazing.
It's a big year for me. So far, so good with all the scans and the checkups. Obviously, like every year around that time of the scans, you get like something called scanxiety, which is very common for cancer survivors and people that go through that. But yeah, big year for me. I'm healthy, and everything is really good.
And one child now?
Yes,
one.
I have a two-year-old daughter.
Two-year-old daughter, yeah. That's right. And more, are you guys planning on trying to have more?
Yeah, God willing, we are. Absolutely.
Yeah, two is fun. Two is fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's in theory, it's fun. And then you see it in action, and sometimes it's not as fun.
We both have two.
Yeah. It's not as fun as in action. But, no, man, I've you know, obviously followed your journey since. I'm so happy to hear that. That thing. It was testicular cancer?
Yes, it was testicular cancer. It had spread up to my lungs, and that's why it was diagnosed as stage 3. I had to go through chemo, and the whole process took about 4 months, but had great care and great help from doctors up at UCLA, and healthy now.
How much did the diagnosis like upend your life? I mean, I'm sure it was a huge amount, but how did you deal with that being such a young age and right at the like the beginning of your professional baseball career?
Yeah, I think it just rearranged my priorities.
Perspective.
I think at that time felt like the worst thing that could ever happen to me in my life, right? And it most likely was. But looking back on the journey and looking back at everything that had happened, it really is one of the most powerful things that has happened to me, to my relationships with my wife, my parents, the support and the love around me. It's just really aligned my priorities and made me realize that, like, baseball's amazing. And it's something that I get to do. And it's you know, not something that is given, but the game was taken away from me. So now stepping onto the field, I'm grateful every time I take the field. I'm grateful every time we have to do PFPs or base running drills that sometimes felt monotonous before having the game taken away from me. So looking back on it, helped me grow stronger with my wife, helped me grow stronger in my faith. So it's really something that I am grateful for and grateful that I went through.
Well, and now you join this team, and this team is expected to win, you know, and that's, I mean, you know, nothing against Pittsburgh. They're a team that I've actually followed for a couple of years that have some really good players. I mean, obviously Paul Skeens and Jared Jones and some really, really big arms. And now you're in with you were with the Rookie of the Year last year. You're in with the Rookie of the Year runner-up in Jackson Merrill. But this team is different, right? Is there more – do you feel the expectations are raised now that you're in San Diego?
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, nothing against my previous clubs. But I think the one thing that I've been telling people coming into this clubhouse – there's one common goal between every single person in that club, and that's to win a World Series, right? Previous clubs, around younger guys, maybe some guys were on board with making the playoffs. Maybe some guys were just wanted to break camp and debut for the first time. Not here. I think the very common goal in there is that World Series, and that's very apparent. And, yeah, like you said, with the Pirates, very talented. We experienced great streaks of baseball where we're very successful, and we experience winning. But I'm really excited to come here to a competitive team and where it's not just the playoffs, but it's above that. And, and the goal is the World Series, which is really cool.
Talking to Padres, outfielder, infielder,
everything,
whatever they need. Yeah. And before you sat down, we were – discussing this Padres team is a very specific identity, especially under Mike Schild and Victor Rodriguez, of a team makes a lot of contact, hits for a high average, but doesn't walk a lot. Now, that's something that in your career you have done. You've gotten on base. What's your approach kind of at the plate, and are you making any changes as you're working with this coaching staff here with the Padres?
Yeah, you know, every time you go into an offseason, you really dissect the season before, what could be better. What do I need to improve on? And for me personally, I believe that to get the ball in the air a little bit more, I hit a lot of ground balls, which is not a bad thing, but in the big leagues are normally outs, right? Obviously, at Petco Park, the field's a little more, it's a fast infield. I believe those are going to be more hits. But in general, like an overall approach for me, yeah, I've always had a good awareness of the strike zone. I've worked a little bit in the offseason to get in my legs and to use my motor a little bit more to help impact the baseball more consistently. I think as far as talking to Victor, talking to the staff, just kind of making little adjustments based on the feedback we're getting from the games, right? Like off-season, you in the cage a lot, you're hitting machine, you're block training, but we're not facing live pitching. Yeah. So to get that feedback from the game, whether you're a tick late or a tick under the baseball, to make minor adjustments based on that, and that's what I'm doing with the staff, day-to-day basis.
And you know, people always are interested in this, and I am, I think, to a certain extent, but it's not my job to have to go out and hit big league pitching. But, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, man, this team does it right with the way they have information and deliver information to you. I guess in comparison to other teams you've been on, how do the Padres rank for you?
Yeah, you know what, we haven't really dove into the weeds too much about the information just yet. I think they've kind of let me get my feet wet at camp and get immersed and get my body moving before.
Yeah, which is probably smart.
Yeah.
Day one, they're tracking everything you do.
Right. They're not, just throwing all this information at me. I do have a meeting with them today about some stuff that they're seeing, which is great. I'm really excited about that. But I think that's the right timing. I think, you know, let me get some at-bats under my belt and make like little adjustments on my own and then hear what they have to say. So if we're having this interview tomorrow, maybe I'd have a little bit more information on that. But unfortunately, we're not. So that's what I can say about that right now.
Last thing for me, obviously you played yesterday against the White Sox, and there'll be Cactus League games. But I like the inter-squad competition.
And so good.
You know, obviously the Padres have some big-name pitchers. Who have you kind of gone up against on some of these backfields so far, and what stood out for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the one that sticks out, obviously a ton of great arms in this camp, Matt Waldron. Faced him early in camp, and I had heard about it from guys around the league, and fortunately, we've never faced him in the big leagues, but getting to see him was pretty cool, and I'm glad he's on my team. That's what I'll say about
that.
Pretty
nasty, huh?
Yeah. I think when me as a batter and the catcher both whiff on the same pitch, I think that just goes to show, you know, how nasty the pitches are. Yeah.
Well, Connor, it is a pleasure to get to know you. Yeah. Good luck this season with the San Diego Padres, and thanks for sitting down with us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. That was fun.
Don't let everybody from your hometown wear you out for tickets. Send them to your agent.
Send them to your agent. My agent
will take care of everybody. Yeah.
Exactly.
Connor, Joe, we're going to check traffic, and then we'll wrap up our first hour of Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away. All right, we still have, let's see, we just heard Jackson Merrill's going to be coming out in our next hour, probably in about 20, 25 minutes, so definitely stay tuned for that coming up in our 7 a.m. hour back in San Diego, 8 a.m. hour coming up here, Mountain Time in Peoria. But that was fun to get to talk to Connor, and
great dude.
Glad he's found his way back home to San Diego and getting a chance to play for his team.
Yeah, me too. It kind of made me nervous. He's like, oh, thanks for bringing that up. I didn't know if he was being sarcastic.
I thought
or
he was
not.
Serious. I had the same thought for a second.
It made my stomach drop.
But he wasn't joking.
He was not joking.
You know, it's that lesson. You know, go see your doctor.
Yeah,
get checked up no matter what your age is. He was, I think in his early 20s.
Yeah.
And not only testicular cancer, but as he said, it already spread to his lungs. And, you know, that could have gone either way. But, best wishes to him as he approaches that 5-year mark. And that scan where you're fully in remission, which is amazing.
Tough to not root for a guy like that, man. Really, really tough.
All right, we'll come back. As I said, Jackson Merrill going to be joining us in our second hour of the program as we continue. Ben and Woods live from Padres spring training in Peoria, Arizona, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.